Guru Dev, what is the most important question that a human being can ask themselves? How important is it to be silent? Or what advice would you have for people if they want to cultivate a peace within? What happens when we die? I'd love to know. Wow, thank you so much for being here and joining me on Sauna Sessions. So usually the podcast, it's I bring in guests and we go into a sauna, which is behind me. Do you sauna at all?
We have a lot of sun in India, so I don't need much sauna outside.
I know, it's extreme, right?
I usually go for a cool swim. Yes.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm so grateful for you, for what you put out into the world, for the energy that you walk in the world with. I was looking at your book the other day, Notes for the Journey Within. The book is actually described as life's big questions answered.
That's it.
So it's described as life's big questions answered. And so I want to ask you the big questions today. The big questions. No softball questions, the big ones. And so I want to ask you first, Guru Dev, what is the most important question that a human being can ask themselves?
One should ask, who am I? And what is the purpose in life? If these two questions comes up in our mind, that indicates we are on a mature footing.
And who are you?
Who are you? This is a question. It makes your journey inward, takes you inward to a plane which you have always been longing for. We cannot be in a hurry to find the answer because the very question is like a vehicle for you to go inward. So what you can come up with is who you are not, and that is the answer for it, you know. You are not just your body, it's not just your thoughts or emotions, your ideas. You are much more than all that. And so this journey of a self-discovery is very, very, very important if you want to make your life better.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because we live in a world of so many distractions. You know, for me, I've always wanted the short path to truth, to freedom, to love. And it made sense to me to ask this question. And the guy who I first found posed the question was the sage Ramana Maharshi. And, you know, this was his famous question, who am I? To whom do the thoughts come to? And I don't think everybody has that question sprout inside of them. But I think if they do, then it's a gift.
Correct. This question has been there from very ancient times. Of course, Ramana Maharshi made it more accessible and more known in the world, especially in the West. His inquiry, spirit of inquiry, became more known. Otherwise, this, Koham, who am I, has existed for millenniums. Yes.
What I've found, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I've found is when you inquire into the question, who am I, you come to a place where the question itself, it dissolves.
Right.
And you kind of just surrender into the answer. There's no verbal answer to the question, who am I? We can say I'm consciousness, I'm pure bliss, I'm awareness. But truly, there's no words, right?
Yeah, that is the real answer. That you are much beyond the words.
Exactly. Exactly. So that actually reminds me of one of my favorite books, The Tao Te Ching. Are you familiar with this one?
I have heard about it, but I've not read.
Oh, okay. So it was written by a Chinese sage, Lao Tzu. Very, very wise. Some say it's the wisest book ever written. It's the second most translated book in the world, second to the Bible. In the book, it says, he who knows doesn't talk. He who talks doesn't know. And so my question to you, Guru Dev, is we live in a world of such noise, so many opinions, so many podcasts. But I want to ask you, how important is it to be silent?
You got it?
That's good.
That says it all. Everything emerges from silence and gets you back to silence. The purpose of speech is to create silence within you. If it doesn't, then the speech has not fulfilled its purpose. Whenever you say yes or wow, there is silence immediately after that. Speech is about knowing something. When you know something, it leaves you a space of wonder. And wonder is wow. And wow is the doorway for silence.
That's it. That's it.
So when we are amazed at the whole creation with all that what we see, we smell, we taste, with every one of our sense experience from the senses, it leads us to a space of total emptiness or tranquility. And that's what is meditation.
I'm a fan of all religions, all spiritual traditions. And in the Christian Bible, it says, you cannot, until you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's that wonder, that wonderment, that awe. That's it. Let's talk a little bit about peace, because I know a lot of your work focuses around peace. And I know for sure that we can never achieve peace in the world until we achieve peace within ourselves. Well, what advice would you have for people if they want to cultivate a peace within?
You know, there are a number of ways you can reach to that inner peace. Huh? Inner peace is the basis for outer peace. It's a peaceful individuals only can create a peaceful family and society and so on and so forth. What is that which obstructs the peace is worry. Now, we should know how to deal with worries. Worry is about a limited issues that clog our mind. Could be one's job, relationship, or whatever, immediate concerns. You know, to address these daily issues, we have to first expand our awareness. We have to see our life is much more than this. You know, look back and see, this is not the first time you are worrying. You have worried when you were in school, you worried when you were in college, and you keep worrying for this or that. Your own experience itself will tell you those worries which I had did in the past were all futile. It was just a waste of time. This realization can help you to broaden your awareness, number one. Second, if you are bent upon worrying, I would say worry for something big. Small worries only make you miserable. You worry something big, then, you know, it can motivate you to do something. Worry about the environment, worry about the way the world is going, you know, how we have inherited the world, and is it better or it's going for worse? So these are some things that you can reflect on yourself about your context to life, number one. Then commitment to life, commitment to greater cause can lessen the worry. You know, if you're committed to bring equality, justice, peace to people, and care for environment, these some bigger commitments in life will make you rise above the petty worries that clog our mind. Then the third thing I would say, compassion. The more we are compassionate, we move on to a different dimension altogether. So that then inner peace is there, you know. Peace doesn't leave us. It only gets shrouded by the petty things. Yeah. So you are gazing at the stars or the sun or the moon, and a small peck of dust can obscure your vision, right? If it falls on your eyes. So all that you need is to clear that, and it's there.
You mentioned one of my favorite words, and that is compassion. I think it was the Buddha. He said, your compassion is incomplete if it does not include yourself. There's a lot of people that have a lot of self-doubt, self-hatred, self-judgment. How can we be more compassionate to ourselves and more forgiving to us?
That's very important. You know, it's easy to be at one extreme. Either you love yourself too much and you don't care for others, or you are so much immersed in doing others' work and you ignore and you are not compassionate on yourself. And this is what usually we find people doing now. It's important for us to balance this, you know. You have to be kind to yourself, not to be hard on yourself. That's where the wisdom helps. In this book, as you mentioned, The Journey Within, these are some of the tips I have put in that. You know, see, how you can handle your own mind, how you can handle your own emotions. See, neither at school nor at home, no one teaches us how to handle our negative emotions, right? Negative emotions, they come up. It's natural in life. Anger comes, jealousy comes, rage comes up, and then greed comes. But we should know how to handle all these feelings, these emotions. And that's where I say, make use of your breath. Breath is the link between your sensation, your feelings, and you know, your thoughts, your body. So if we can learn a little bit about our breath, you empower yourself. So you don't have to feel a victim of your own emotions.
Okay. The breath is the doorway.
Yes.
There's a question from one of the viewers, and they ask how to follow the spiritual path when we are bound to material things to survive.
No, first of all, don't think that spiritual journey is opposing your material progress. It need not be, you see. It will only complement. What do you need in the material for a material prosperity growth? You need intelligence. You need sharpness of awareness. You need presence of mind. You need good behavior. You need a calm, composed, and a friendly outlook in life. And spirituality will bring you all this. Spirituality is which makes your communication better with people. It helps you to uplift your spirit. It helps you to be resilient. If you have to be materially successful, you may have to face some failures too. When you fail failures, if you keep going down, it's no good. You should have this energy to sustain yourself, to be resilient. And spiritual power, inner strength, gives you all that. And on top of all this is intuitive ability. If you want to be a good businessman, all that you need is the right intuition, right? Is the intuition. And it is meditation and the spiritual journey that can provide you with a lot of insight and intuition.
I love that. And of course, the word spirit comes from the word breath. You know, spirituality has definitely changed my life. And I think in the world today, we create this false separation between the spirit and the material when it's all Brahman, it's all God. It's you have to take the yoga off the mat into the world. Everything is that love. And when we view everything as love, we view ourselves as love, and there's no question anymore of the duality.
Correct. And see, any business or any professional success depends on your innovative spirit. An innovative spirit, and as I said, intuition earlier, they are basic ingredients to be successful in the world. And how you can enhance them, how can you get them, how can you access them? If you are not spiritual, if you are not having that little time for yourself to go deep in and to the source of thought, that is silence, then we cannot get the access to that, you see. So few moments of silence, few days of silence, you can come up with great ideas and you find a lot of energy to move in that direction. As I said earlier, seeing life from a broader context is very, very important. You know, we are on this planet. How many years will be here? 80 years, 90 years, right? Then what? These questions should haunt us, actually. What is life? What am I doing? What do I want to get? Where am I going? These very questions can make our life very deep. It can take us to a space where we always wanted to be. You know, the source of joy and love that we are becomes more accessible for expression.
I think the quality, somebody once said, the quality of our lives is based on the quality of our questions. You mentioned business, and you reminded me of one of the most successful entrepreneurs and businessmen of all, of our day, Steve Jobs. And, you know, Steve Jobs, at his funeral, he gave out a book. He said he read this book every day after he was, I think after he turned 30, he read it every year of his life. And this book was the autobiography of a yogi, Paramahansa Yogananda. To have that spiritual grounding is so important to success. It was so important that Steve Jobs gave it out to everybody who attended his funeral, because he didn't give a business book out. He didn't give, you know, a marketing book out. He gave out the autobiography of a yogi because he thought that this was the most important book to give.
Yeah, you know, 42 years back when I came to USA, then, you know, yoga was not that popular those days. Except in California, few people would practice meditation. But mostly people would think this is not for the mainstream, it's for some weird people. That was the narrative. World over, even in India, meditation, yoga was not mainstream narrative. Even in India, I'm telling you. In India, meditation, yoga, you know, someone said they think they will, their son or daughter will go away to Himalayas. They will become a monk. This was a notion that people were carrying. But fortunately today, almost one-fourth of world's population, a little over one-fourth of world's population, practicing yoga, practicing meditation. So the narrative has changed, yes. To be free from anxiety, stress and distress and heartburns, all these issues we are facing, and societal violence that we are facing today in our societies here, for that spiritual journey, I feel is a must. A glimpse of that inner beauty, inner strength that we all have can make a huge difference in one's life. I mean, if it is 2.8 mass shootings per day in this country and so many people are taking their life away, that shows there is an urgency for knowledge to handle one's own mind. Mental health has become a very big issue, and then mental health can be easily handled without any of those drugs and other things, medication, practicing meditation and yoga and breathing. As you said, Taoists or Upanishads or, you know, Buddha's teachings, all this wisdom, a little bit of wisdom in life definitely can uplift one's spirit.
100%. I'm curious, have you ever faced any mental health issues, depression in any point in your life?
No, I only see happening with so many people, and it's so such a joy to see that they all come out of it in no time.
Yeah.
I've seen people coming out of it.
Yep. And that's the thing, is for people to realize that you don't have to be stuck in any situation. I always feel every ailment can be healed.
Prince, we convey more through our vibrations than through our words. So the vibration, when our vibration is positive, it impacts people around us.
Let's get back into the big questions. One question that, you know, I think about often, is just part of the human experience, is about death. Book, the Tibetan book on living and dying, there's a quote and it says, "Of all footprints, those of the elephant are supreme. And of all mindful meditations, that upon death is supreme." Death has, for me, has been a motivator, a guide, a helper, for me to live full, to focus on what really matters in this life. What's your relationship with death? I've heard many sages talk about death as a raindrop falling into the ocean. Ram Dass, he described death as taking off a tight shoe. What's your relationship with death? What happens when we die? I'd love to know.
Yeah, it's just like you changing your cloth. You change your attire, you know. You are much more than your body. You know, body is just a tiny pebble hanging on to a balloon, which is your spirit. Often people think mind is inside the body. But I tell you, it's the other way around. Our body is inside the mind. Now, we have three bodies, the gross body, the subtle body, which is about 12 inches bigger than the gross body all around. And the subtle body has all the emotions, thoughts. And then the causal body, the body which is even bigger than that, our true spirit, you see. And that is why, you know, when we sleep, we get into that deep sleep, we are in the causal body. We are in touch with that because it's full of energy. And in the dream state, we are in the subtle body where we are still with all the experiences that we have had. In dream, when we experience a sight or smell or taste or sound or conversations, it's all very real in dream, right? And the dream body is the subtle body, which experiences everything without making use of the senses. And then the gross body is of the senses. Death, nothing to be worried about death, but people committing suicide is a crime, I would say. That should not do that. It's a foolish act rather than, I would say, it's like taking away your jacket when you are already feeling very cold, when you are shivering. It's freezing and you are taking away your jacket, you are not going to feel any warmer, right? That's why this education about the mind is very necessary. And prana, the life force, which would provide us, it's like nutrition for the subtle body. It's very much needed, you know. So just by enhancing your life force, the prana, what you call prana chi, you would have heard about that. The breathing, through breathing, increase the life force within you. Then you can get over depression, anxiety, and all this loneliness. All these feelings will go. And naturally feel sense of happiness dawning within you.
Is there a specific breath technique that you can share for people listening?
You know, there is a number of techniques. In sky breathing, I've made it as a sky breathing program in which I share a number of breathing exercises. And it's being taught in universities also now. 108 universities here in America, they're teaching this part of their, you know, sky in campus programs. And in schools also, depends on age, you know, for children, there are different breathing techniques, for adolescent different, and adults different, elderly people. So according to age and their state of mind, their requirements, we have trained teachers who just share with them whatever they need. Yeah.
Awesome. Sky breathing. That's what you call it, sky breathing.
Sky breathing, yeah.
Gurudev, what is the art of living?
Art of living is making life a celebration. That's the aim of it. And there's five principles in art of living. The first principle is seeing life from a bigger perspective. Contrast, seeing opposite values are complementary in life. And then learning how to accept people's situation as they are. Then, you know, how to empower yourself and be compassionate and help others.
That's the formula.
Important from all that is to help one to live in the present moment, not brood over the past. You see, we are either angry about the past or anxious about the future. And we miss out on the present moment where nature has offered us so much. This is to celebrate life, how to, you know, enhance your sharpness, our expression and our communication with everyone around us. So in short, I would say the main goal of Art of Living is to see a violence-free society, a healthy body, and a confusion-free mind, and prejudice or inhibition-free intellect, trauma-free memory, and a sorrow-free soul.
That's it. Love that. Thank you for sharing that.
You know, we are all one. We have to feel that oneness with everyone around us, beyond their race, religion, culture, language, you know. We should rise above all these little differences, and the prejudice we carry in our mind should be done away with. What do you say? Isn't that?
It's interesting because there's so many forces in the world that concretize or solidify these divisions, right? There's the political side, there's the news, there's so many things coming at us almost like a war, creating more war within our minds. And so I always tell people, just try to step back from all of that. Just take a break, you know, take a retreat. You don't have to go to, you know, Bali or any, just take a retreat within yourself. Take a fast, you know, from all of these games that we play in the world, and tune back in to that frequency of love that you were speaking about. And if you want to put anything into your mind, let it be that pure wisdom, the satsangs, the guidance that leads you back to silence with words.
See, every child who has come onto this planet have come as a bundle of joy, a bubbling source of love. And somewhere, somehow, we have forgotten that beauty and the truth, the joy that we have come to this world with. And it's because of stress and all that, you know, lack of understanding, communication gap. We need to rise above all that. And that education is what was missing. So we've made this educational foundation, Art of Living, to bring back that education. To give this message, hey, wake up. We are one global family. And we all belong to each other. Yeah. It's challenging. It's challenging, no doubt. You know, there are other forces which benefit by keeping the divisions. But, you know, we all have to keep working to unite people. That's our nature. We should keep doing it.
I always say it's easier to grow weeds than it is flowers. But what would a world be without flowers? We have to continue to water those good parts, plant good seeds in ourselves and others and in the earth. And we have to play our own part, even amidst all of the efforts of resistance towards the negative sides of humanity. Gurudev, I want to be respectful for your time, and so I want to ask you a question. It's a five-part question that I ask everybody. It's called The Five Bests, and so it's like a rapid-fire type of game. When is or when was the best time in your life?
This moment.
What's the best investment you ever made in your life?
I'm not a businessman to invest.
It could be investing in your own awakening.
I think I myself is an investment, if you want to say it that way.
What was the best advice you ever got?
Keep saying, keep doing what you are doing, whether people take it or not.
Love that one. What's the best quote you ever heard?
You know, I don't hold on to any quotes. And whenever I hear a quote, I take the best out of it.
Well, that's it. I love that. What's the best, and you might have the same answer, the best book you ever read?
Life.
I love it.
I don't read much books at all. If I start reading books in the second page itself, I go into meditation. I get into the empty space. So I dropped that exercise of reading much.
You had a video that I saw a while back about a book that was very impactful for me. And this book, it wasn't the Bhagavad Gita, it was the Ashtavakra Gita.
Ashtavakra Gita, yeah.
Is that a book that had an impact on you? Or
The verses were, you know, I started translating and speaking about it. It was in a group when we were sitting together and people came up with those questions. And at that moment, I read the book and I started speaking about it. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
It was an impromptu, yeah.
Gurudev, what's the World Culture Festival? You've got something happening in a few months, the World Culture Festival?
Yes. World Culture Festival is bringing people of all different nations, 180 nations around the world, on one stage. So, you know, I feel that it's the music and meals that unite people. So we have cuisine from all the different countries and music and dance from all different countries coming together in Washington, D.C. at the National Mall. You know, there has been many political things there, and it's a national capital. I thought it would be good to bring some positive energy with uniting everyone. This will be the fourth World Culture Festival that's happening. The previous one we had in India, which had 36,600 artists on one stage. The stage was 6 football grounds, 7 acres of stage. And we had 3.75 million people in the audience for that. So here we are going to have in Washington, in the mall, National Mall, and there will be an inspirational talks, meditation will be there, and music and dance will be there, yeah. It starts on 29th of September through 1st of October, yeah, 3 days.
Will there be a unified meditation there?
Yes.
Okay.
We will have meditation, we'll have music, we'll have dance, and Prince, hope to see you there. You have to be there.
I would absolutely love to be there. I'm going to make it happen, the end of September. Okay. So I actually live in Portugal. I'll see if I can come back to the States. You live in India, so you'll make the trip, so I should be able to make the trip.
All right. Okay, wonderful.
Gurudev, thank you so much for being on. Much, much love. Namaste. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate your questions and coming in and sharing space with us.